First of all, I must suppose that I have no body, and that there is no world nor any place in which I might be. Then, I imagine that out there is someone who is waiting for me, who holds me up and will not let me fall. I try to imagine that that's someone in the form of an air current, or a long, gentle wave I can ride. Then, when they open the door, I am ready. I bounce and slither along, weightless, unless I wear weighted boots. When they open the door, it is like a slab of pure light. My eyes go blind and I am speechless. The light is everywhere and shines off every surface. Gradually, my eyes grow accustomed to light. I curl into a tight little ball, crouch down so that all the strings can tighten like a bow, and then leap upward and outward into the deep blue of the air. It's terrifying at first, of course, to go plunging head over heels into the open with nothing to hold on to. But if you can put off pulling your cord, gradually you get used to it. You fold everything behind you, stretch out your arms as far as you can, and give yourself up to the free winds of heaven. Then you're not falling away anymore. You are flying. Of course you want to gaze down at the earth like that for hours, with a tenderness that overtakes you at such times. But soon your eyes glow like hot coals, and your back grows heavy, as if saddled with wings. It's best at such times to yank the ripcord. Then it's easy, floating to earth with the sun shining through your chute. Usually, though, when I face an extended freefall, my nerves snap, and I find it easier to just pull a cord. I can't help it. At some point, I'll suddenly stop caring. I know how much better it is to fly than to fall, but at some point, I don't know, I give up. I'll have been clutching my fists like grim death, but quite soon I don't in the least mind falling. I feel too tired somehow to resist. Yet if someone had stopped my hand and said, "Hold it, man, you're not here to give up. Just stretch out your arms and relax," I really believe I'd start making the effort. But as it is, no one ever does. And so I just say to myself, "Oh, well, it had to happen sooner or later. I couldn't stay up here forever. It will probably be all right." And then in a moment, I'm looking up at the sun shimmering through my chute. The rhythms of falling. Sleep. After you've flown a few times, something happens to your sense of gravity. You always feel like you're falling. You wake up in the middle of the night and you feel like you're falling off of the bed. When you walk around, you can't really feel the ground under your feet anymore. You even forget what it felt like to walk. And when you go out, you have to be so careful to remember exactly where your center of mass is. Even so, you still feel like you're falling. And it seems as if things are darker down here, heavier, as if all life impulses have been suspended, and everyone is dragging his body, bent under a tremendous and solemn fatigue, whose weight now seems to be unbearable. You feel as if you were tied with an invisible cord to a stake planted somewhere in the earth. Sometimes you even lose your sense of direction. You walk toward home and you find yourself at the opposite end of the city. The ground and the people who live on the ground don't seem quite solid or real. And you feel that just beneath them there's the deep blue of the air. Or they're walking on the edge, and if you opened a little door, they'd start plunging off into space. After you've been up a few times, too, strange things begin to happen. I begin to hear voices. I'd hear the voices when I was ready to bail out, you know. Then I'd still hear them when I'd be walking around down below. So I begin to eat, and eat, like a maniac began to eat. Of course, the heavier I got, the harder it was to convince them I was still fit for flying. Up there, you hear voices which tell you what to do through the earphones. Okay. Inside, you watch a young man carry a stack of papers or watch somebody else get ready to bail out. You may be nearly touching him, but up there he's a million miles away from you. Because of the voices. One day I was down here relaxing, walking around, trying not to walk into things. I was following a girl, I think, from a distance. Then I heard a voice in my ear describing the scene. It was a very impersonal, neutral-sounding voice. And I realized that the voice was just like the quiet voices I would hear up there. I became so engrossed in listening that the scene lost its visual interest for me. I heard the voice at my right ear above my shoulder. It actually created the scene by describing it. But it obeyed my will, because I could stop it at any time and examine the details of what it said at my leisure. I mean, I saw the entire sequence of the young girl's actions before she did them. The voice went on explaining them in minute detail. But somehow the action was not important. The little voice, that was the extraordinary issue. Now, whenever I try to deliberately trap the voice, it subsides altogether or becomes vague, like sunlight passing through a parachute. But it never stops altogether. The voice stands between me and everything I see. The voice is like the image created by dust particles in the eyelashes, or the blood vessels in the cornea of the eye, a worm-like shape that can be seen as long as I am not looking at it directly. But the moment I try to look at it, it shifts out of sight with the movement of the eyeball.